John 10 this morning. We are still there. Yes, we are still there. In the book of John and in the 10th chapter. Next Sunday, I just sent some leadership that we're going to do something we typically do at this time of year. And some of you will say, I've been there, I've heard that. I've found it never gets old. Teaching that we have shared for years and years called the Survival Kit. And folks, if there is a time that you will need this more, I don't know when it will be. I know all the optimism, and I'm a realist, okay? But the optimist for next year, the stock market's up and all this kind of stuff. But there are some things blowing on the horizons of this experience called life that we live. And if we ever need the tools in our survival kit for a year, I think this is the year coming up, 2015. So you come and be with us for that. I know that there will be things that we cover that will mean something to you in this tumultuous day in which we live. Let's begin this morning. We're going to look today at be careful who you follow. Be careful who you follow. Let's begin reading in John 10 and verse 11. Jesus, of course, in these first 30 verses of John 10, is using a figure of speech. It says in verse 6, metaphor probably is what we would have to call it. And it's all set in the setting of sheep ranching, which they knew so well in that time, as we've said on several occasions. And so we're right in the middle of this. In verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, some of your translations may say hireling, same thing, a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, when the hired hand sees the wolf coming to devour the sheep, coming and leaves the sheep and flees, the hired hand runs for his life. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. I thought it's interesting that he catches them and he doesn't eat them. He catches them and scatters them. That's important. He flees, the hired hand, flees because he is a hired hand, cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, Jesus said. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. And just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. In the 1600s, there was a guy, a Frenchman, and his name was Blaise Pascal. Sounds more like an NFL linebacker to me, but nonetheless, that was his name. He was a child prodigy. That means, as most of you know, as a small child, he was just brilliant. And he became one of the most renowned mathematicians ever. He came up with a mathematical thought that nobody had thought of before. He got into the sciences, into astronomy, and on like that. And The good news is that he became a Christian. He became a Christian and wrote quite prolifically as a believer. And Blaise Pascal made a statement, and let me read it to you. There is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person which cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God, the Creator, made known by Jesus Christ. Now, if we could shorten that down this morning, we could say that Pascal said a God-shaped hole exists in the life of every person. Now, what we try to do as human beings, there's this insatiable need to fill that hole. And so many different things are tried in this perpetual quest to fill this hole in our lives. There's all kinds of things, experiences and philosophies and causes. Many are good. But it's this quest all the time trying to fill this hole in our lives. Because you see, as God created us, He created us with this hole that He could only fill through Jesus Christ. And with that comes joy and peace and purpose and contentment, and most importantly, someone to worship. But in trying to fill this hole, we try to fill it with all this other stuff. And misery sets in. There's no place that personifies this more than among the what we would call the wealthy, the elite, the movie stars, those kind of folks. Some of the loneliest, most forsaken people anywhere. And they have everything, yet they have nothing. And they're trying to fill their lives with all this fame and fortune, etc. All right. With that reality, there steps forward people who try to meet that need in people's lives. This is where we're going today, okay? This great demand that we have to fill this void, this hole, this vacuum in our life, other people step forward to try to assist, control, even profit from this need to fill this hole. Are you with me? All right. Jesus' teaching this morning is dealing with that issue. Hence the title that we are looking at, Be Careful Who You Follow. Because there is a cadre of folks who are stepping up all the time trying to fill this hole for other people. And Jesus deals with three in our passage today. So be careful who you follow. Be very careful who you follow. The first option of who you would follow are what Jesus called thieves. Thieves. He speaks of the thief or thieves in verse 1, verse 8, and verse 10 of chapter 10. The chief thief is Satan. That archangel, as we said on a few occasions, only three angels are named in Scripture. One is Michael, the warrior angel. One is Gabriel, the messenger angel. And the third one was Lucifer. And Lucifer was the one, the angel, the archangel, who directed all of the praise from the angelic hosts to God. And he became jealous that God was getting all the praise, and he wanted it. And he was a beautiful angel. I've never seen an angel, but of all the angels, he was the most beautiful. And he coveted the praise that the angelic hosts were giving to Jehovah God. And pride erupted in his life, and he reached the conclusion, I will be like the Most High. And so he was cast out, he and a third of all the angelic hosts who followed him. Hence we have today the devil and demons. All right. So the chief thief is this one we call Satan or the devil. Other thieves are his cohorts or agents. Matthew 7:15, Jesus said, he talked about wolves in sheep's clothing. Sheep clothing. I don't know which it'd be, okay? Jamie, help me out there. Sheep's. All right. You get the idea. All right? False prophets, false teachers. People who look like sheep, but they're really wolves. And you remember those thieves who climb up over the sheepfold to gain access to the sheep? They enter by another way, not by the door. So, they gain entrance deceptively. This is one of those groups of people that step forward, follow me. Be careful who you follow. Be very careful who you follow. It may be one of these agents of Satan, a thief, Jesus calls them. Now, did you look in verse 8? All who came before me are thieves and robbers. All right, so he is speaking specifically in this context of the Pharisees. The Pharisees came before Jesus. They are representatives of Satan. They are agents of his. Any false prophet, any false teacher would be a thief, an agent of the enemy, a false prophet. And these thieves, the Pharisees, came before Jesus. But you know, today, thieves come before Jesus comes into our life. And their purpose is what? What did he say in verse 10 that the thief came to do? Kill, steal, and destroy. So the thief, the chief thief, comes to kill, steal, and destroy, plus all of his agents come to kill, steal, and destroy. And these thieves have come before Jesus comes into our lives. Now, gather your thoughts with me. The mission of the thief is to kill, steal, and destroy. When does that start? When does the thief seek to destroy potential worshipers of God? At conception. In our today, 50-some million children are aborted. Where is that coming from? How could such evil be propagated on a culture and many more than that around the world? The thief. You see, if he can wipe out life before that child is born, there is not a worshiper of God. So he eliminates millions and has through abortion. Let's say that he fails. That child is born. He's not through yet. He's still trying to kill, steal, and destroy. And through those early childhood years, the enemy comes in the form primarily of abuse, child abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse. And the scars that are meted out by the enemy during those years scar that child for life. And then at this time, God created the family. It was his idea. He created the family before he created the church. And he knows exactly the way he wants the family to be. All right? A birth mother, a birth father, and children in the home. That's family. And those children then are raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's his model. It works. What happens, though? And today in our country, a third of all families are single-parent families. I know this is tender for many of you. But by the grace of God, you have come through. But what I'm talking about is in a preventive mode today, not in a reactive mode. If that family is a single-parent family, and a third of all families are, in some cultures in our land, it's 75% are single-parent families, especially in the urban areas. What happens is the father takes off, abandoned, skips out, driven off. I don't know, he's gone. Now what we have are children who are raised by a mother. God bless the moms who stay the course. But folks, that is a tough gig to try to raise kids by yourself. And so what happens then, these children are, especially the boys, are scarred from an early age. There's no dad. How do little boys learn to be men? Dad. Yeah. And you don't have, you know, that old garbage about quality time and quantity time and all that. Folks, kids understand one thing. Time. As much as they can get. And little boys want that to be with dad. You don't have to do something special. All right, today we're going to do some quality time, and we're going to forget that. They spot that in a New York minute. You're just scheduling me into your life, aren't you, Dad? Time. If you go get gas, take them with you. Whatever you do, take them with you. They need to be around Dad. I think one of the most pitiful things I've ever seen happened a couple of years ago, and they have a high school all-star football game, all right? I don't know what it was called even, okay? But anyway, it's the best athletes that are seniors in high school that year. They gather them all together in this place across the land, and what it is the time where they have a football game, but it's a time when these young men announce where they're going to go to college, all right? And they would bring these guys in one at a time. The game's still going on. They probably pre-taped it. I don't know what they did. But they would have caps of universities, you know, the Alabamas, even the Auburns, Glenn, and Florida State and UCLA, all those. He had narrowed his choices down to two or three schools. And then they would have this big production. The family would be there, you know. And they would give his name and said, "And where are you going to school next year, Billy," or whatever his name was. And he'd look at the hats, and he'd pick one up and put it on. And everybody'd cheer, okay? This one situation, it's an African-American young man, okay? One of those 75% of kids whose mom raised. Did you ever notice how they put hyphenated names on their jerseys? Did you ever figure out what that's about? They're recognizing mom. They're recognizing mom. And so they, in this picture, then they're going to take a picture, okay? All right, here's mom, and the young man has his arm around his mother, and you just feel the love. And then there's this guy over here. It's his dad, who hadn't been there for all these years, and now that son's a star athlete, he's going to step up and get in the picture. And in this situation, this kid just pushed him away on national television. And I looked at that and I thought, that hurts. That young man was expressing the hurt of his life. Dad, you're not there. Listen to me. Don't be an agent of the enemy, dads, by abandoning your kids. If you fathered them, you raise them. And teach your kids that, to do the same. And again, I know how tender that is for many of you. But folks, I want to call quits on this thing. God knows what the home is going to have to be successful. Birth mother, birth father, children in the home, raised in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Satan's trying to destroy those kids through those early childhood years, through abuse and neglect. If they get through those years, then they get up to the teenage years. And now it's drugs, alcohol, and sexual promiscuity. He's still after them. He's going to destroy them. If they get out of those years, then they go to college in most cases. Folks, I'm here to tell you that the most dangerous place to be, and I work at a university and have for 34 years, and I think, but those years, one of the most destructive things that happened to those kids across this land is those philosophies that are meted out by those authority figures called professors in those classrooms. Almost two-thirds of kids who are raised in the church abandon the faith when they go to college, because they have people who have their destiny under control, telling them that that's not true. And their heads and minds are filled with all these foreign false philosophies. He's still trying to destroy them. If they get through those college years, then we have young adulthood. Ha! Ah, made it. Oh, no, you didn't. Now what's it all about? We're going to destroy them. He's going to destroy them by materialism. Status. What you do, what you have, and what you want. And so that child's, now the adult's, life is all focused on that stuff. Folks, the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. And he doesn't take a vacation. Be careful who you follow. Even over in Matthew 24:24, what would be the tribulation period. Okay, just prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Matthew 24:24 says, if it were possible to deceive the very elect, Antichrist, okay, present on the scene, if possible to deceive the very elect, kill, steal, and destroy. Thieves hurt sheep. Thieves kill sheep. They steal the joy and peace that sheep have, and they're after sheep, is Jesus' teaching today. Lies, deception, false experiences, false doctrine, denouncing and denying the word of God as truth, the hath God said question that he erupted into the lives of Adam and Eve, he still does it today. One of the boys sent me a link yesterday. And you had to subscribe to the magazine to read the link, but he gave me enough to read, okay? Wall Street Journal, big deal, okay? Big deal, not some hack publication, but it's a respected journal across this land. In it was an article from Science, okay? And scientists, whoever that is, had determined, now to get in the Wall Street Journal, it can't be just spook stuff, okay? Scientists have determined that because the probability of life being on other planets is so minuscule, they have concluded that there's a creator. Do you get that? What? These are the people who say, we know it all, we studied it. And they said, we don't have any answers. There must be a creator. Wow. Give him my number, I'll tell him who he is. In any situation, as we looked at a couple of weeks ago, try the spirits. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh is not of God, but is Antichrist. Not the Antichrist. There are many Antichrists out there. John, 1 John 4. Be careful who you follow. Make sure it's not a thief. Secondly, today Jesus deals with another group of people. We read about a second option is to follow hired hands, hirelings. We read about them this morning. A hired hand is not a shepherd. The hired hand does not own the sheep. The hired hand works for the shepherd. He has no commitment to the sheep. The only commitment that he has is to get paid. All right? The shepherd will lay down his life for the sheep. He stays when there's danger, especially the wolf comes to scatter the sheep. The shepherd stays the course. but not the hired hand. The hired hand, when the wolf comes, Jesus said, to scatter the sheep, he runs too. He's out of there. Hired hands, you see, are flawed from the beginning because their priority is themselves, their agenda, and probably their paycheck. You see, as human beings, we defend our priorities, what's important to us. And for a hired hand, the priority is not the sheep. The priority is themselves. Now, dare we stretch this metaphor too far, and we can do that, we know. Listen to what Jesus said in John 15. Greater love has no man, no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Let me read that again. John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. And in verse 15, Jesus said, I have called you friends. The Good Shepherd. Think about this. Oswald Chambers, some of us, grew up with Oswald Chambers. Some young folks say, who? You know, I never have anything to do with somebody named Oswald, okay? You need to find Oswald. Oswald Chambers wrote a devotional book. Anybody know who I'm talking about? Whoa, good job. All right, okay. I was a little scared there, Kelly. I thought, you know, never would land on that planet, but good people. Yes! He sang for the Gaithers. All right, yeah. The music God and angels sing, remember? Okay, all right. Focus. All right. Oswald Chambers says in one of his devotions, it's either to give one's life for someone, to die for someone, than to lay down one's life for someone. You hear what we're saying? He said it's easier for a person to die for someone than to lay down one's life. What he's talking about there and what Jesus is talking about, to lay down your life, is to give up everything that's near and dear, both now and into the future of your life, for people. And I know the mean age is in here, the average age in here is young. It's easy for an old coot like me, okay? I don't have many years to lay down until I do lay down, okay? But young folks, listen to me. You will not find a greater peace than to lay down your life for others. Time, talent, and treasure. Lay it down to bring other people to the kingdom. I get to deal with young people, great young people, by the scores, the hundreds, probably the thousands through the years. And as they're finishing up their college experience, the question is the same that they were asked as four-year-olds, what are you going to be when you grow up? And the focus too often is on a career. Nothing wrong with that if it's the career God called you to. Work is good, but work for the cause of edifying yourself is not good if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. Find something you will lay down your life for and jump in. Jump in. Lock, stock, and barrel. I don't care. I'm all in. Lay down your life for the sheep. Remember Peter and the disciples in Matthew 26:35. Jesus talking to them about the fact that he was going to die. He's going to go to the cross. And Peter stepped up and he said, "Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all of the disciples said the same thing, it says. We know what happened, don't we? They ran. When Jesus came carrying the cross, they split. All of them. John alone was at the cross. When the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, they came out of hiding and laid down their lives for the cause of the cross. Is the problem we have today with people not laying down their lives for the kingdom the fact that the Holy Spirit does not indwell them? Just say. Is that what's going on? Now, hired hands are not disciples. They're just in it for the profit, usually. Disciples are sheep because they follow the shepherd. Remember, deny, die, and follow? There are some disciples who may be thought of as under-shepherds because of the spiritual gift that they've been given in and for the body of Christ. And you're saying, well, what about the executive ministers? There are none. There are none. We don't have a choir here. You're the choir. And we don't have executive officers here. We are the executive officers. Gifted by the Holy Spirit to edify and build up the church. This is not a corporation. It's a body. It's an organism, not an organization. Made up of the several members of that body. And every spiritual gift has been meted out to the people of Wellspring Baptist Fellowship. Andy Young and I aren't in charge. We're just disciples walking with you. The deacons are not part of the executive board. Look up what a deacon is. And praise God, our deacons deek. Servants. We're disciples gifted for the work of the flock, if you will. The test between a hired hand and an under-shepherd, the hired hand is working for money, for status, to fulfill their life. The under-shepherd is reflecting the shepherd for the glory of the shepherd. Be careful who you follow, folks. Be very careful. We've eliminated two that Jesus dealt with. There's only one left. The third option, it's the one you want to go for. The third option is the good shepherd. Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." This is the one you want to follow. The only one you want to follow, the good shepherd, the one who knows your name, the one who calls you, the one who leads you, the one who gives life, abundant life even, the one who is worth following, the one who saves, the one who provides pasture, the one who lays down his life for you, the one who attacks the thieves, the wolves when they attack the flock, and gathers the scattered flock back to himself. All of those things Jesus put together in this passage. That's the good shepherd. That's the one you want to follow. And by the way, if you elect not to, get your stretching in, because the Word says, follow Him now, or in that eternity, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You're going to do it. You're going to do it. It's just a matter of when. May I strongly recommend that be now as opposed to then? Because after you get up off your knees, if you do not name Him now as Lord, you will name Him then as Lord, but it doesn't count. Because the Word will go out, my thinking, exit left. Exit left is not good. In Matthew 25, exit left is into where? Eternal punishment. You have announced that He's Lord, but it's not for salvation. It's to fulfill Scripture. The Good Shepherd is the only one who will sit on the throne next to His Heavenly Father. Can you see how foolish it would be to follow anyone else or anything else besides Him now? Absolute foolishness. Can you see that following anything or anyone else is going to lead only to destruction? Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Disciples, your call, my call, is to lay down our lives for the sheep. Let's pray. Lord, this morning, we read about these that try to kill, steal, and destroy. These folks who are wanting people to follow them because they get paid or made a big deal or whatever it is, both lead to destruction. Only you, Lord Jesus, are worth giving our life for. Only you are worthy of us laying down our lives for you. Father, I look across this auditorium and I see so many faces that are really at the threshold of their lives. Teenagers, college students, young adults. Dealing with all of those things that those of us who are much older already have confronted. Lord, I pray this morning that you would call unto them to lay down their life, to give it up for the cause of the kingdom. I don't know what that's going to look like in individual situations. I know what it feels like in the peace that passes understanding in one's heart. Father, I pray for parents here this morning. Lord, I understand the tenderness in so many lives because it didn't work the way you designed it to work. Now, there are those who are scarred. Father, because it happened doesn't mean that it has to happen in the future of any of the lives in this room. Call out those, Father, who know too well experientially the pain of being rejected, abused, neglected, and call them to a walk where children are not hurt, but they're helped. Where children are not destroyed, but they're led to the Lord Jesus Christ and live their days with the peace that passes understanding in Christ. Father, we want to call a halt this morning to all the destructive ways that Satan comes, that thief, to kill, to steal, and destroy. Father, I pray that you would shut every abortion clinic in this land down, and I don't care what the politicians, etc., say about it. You created that life, and someone came and murdered that child. Father, it's time that that came to a halt. Father, for those teenagers, maybe in this room, who are sitting on the edge of that tempestuous time, am I going to seek the thrills, sow my wild oats, whatever you want to call it? Or am I going to stand up for who I am in Christ and say no? My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and I will not allow any unclean thing to enter my life. Father, call out those who sit there today. And then to those young families, those who in these days are looking for, planning for, seeking a place, seeking status, fame, fortune, whatever. Father, would you peck them on the shoulder this morning and remind them that you gave your life for them, Lord Jesus? And their only responsibility is to deny, die, and follow. And Father, then the peace that they're looking for, the filling of that God-shaped hole is accomplished, and they can lay down their lives for the kingdom. Father, we love you. We thank you for all you do. Thank you for these precious people that are in this room that make up Wellspring Baptist Fellowship. Help them to sow their lives for the kingdom in Jesus' name.